And welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. We're the One, 95.1 FM. And, of course, KYMN 1080 Radio for over 50 years. It is, well, the time right now is 9:06:21. A lot of things going on in the community, boy, oh, boy. And actually, it's getting light out in the morning. And at evening, at evening time, it seems to be a little bit later as we move towards March. I'm thinking March. 1 year on the Wayne Eddy Affair, I totally eliminated the month of February. We went from January 31st to January 32nd and kept it up until March 1st, and I did get some complaints from people who had birthdays in February. Can't forget that. I don't know when your birthday is, but come on over and bring it with you and say good morning.
Good morning, Northfield.
This is the Wayne Eddy Affair featuring Dina Fessler for the umpteenth time. But boy, you've been doing a lot of things since I saw you last.
I have.
And
it's been
busy. I got to get in and find out what all those things are. But before we do anything, you blackmailed me.
I did? Oh, effectively.
Yes. Dina said she'd be more than happy to come in if I provided cinnamon rolls and Kleenex. And both of them are seated here by the desk. And I thought, you know, cinnamon rolls. I like the Oli Cafe. And I also like Quality Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I didn't want to leave early, too early and not get to the Oli. So I thought, well, I'll just go to, oh, wait a minute, Quality Bakery is closed on Mondays.
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
So where, oh, where am I going to get cinnamon rolls?
Are these are Oli?
No.
No.
These are from a place that you've been to on more than one occasion, and I will present you with one. Now,
should I guess, like taste test and see if I can guess who made it?
Oh, sure, if you want to. But
it's
pretty vague, you know. We can leave what is left over for our good friends, Jeff and Terry and Andy. Whoop.
Oopsie.
I almost brought mine. There. I brought a knife. Folks,
okay.
Dina Fessler and I have just opened a bag, and inside the bag are these, what do you call these, cellophane or plastic?
I call it landfill goodies.
To-go goodies. All right. So now, I bought these at a place you're familiar with, and what do you think?
Is it the Hideaway?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
How did you know that?
Well, I haven't had their cinnamon rolls, but I went there one time with my friend Felicia, who was having a crazy sugar craving, and she ordered this, and it was the biggest roll I'd ever seen in my life, and this looks about that size. So
yep. I brought a little plate for you to cut it on.
Okay, first of all, I didn't blackmail you. I just think this is a great tradition, because the last time I was on, I asked if we could have it, and you went to the Quality Bakery, and it was the funnest 2 hours we could have had, right?
Yep.
Good conversation and all this sugar and fat grams. And so I said, let's do that again.
You know, what's interesting is a young lady that took care of me there, Miss Spalding, Sarah,
mm-hmm.
who is a former Miss Defeated Jesse James Days ambassador.
Yep.
And I've known her since she was a little girl, gave her first ride on a motorcycle.
Nice.
And anyhow, she was there. She's going to be opening up her own place
I
pretty
know.
Quick.
I know. So maybe she has some cinnamon rolls and
yeah.
I'll stop by.
So, you know, when I was driving in, I thought, well, you know, I can stop at Quick Trip. I could stop at Casey's. I know my friends at Ziggy's doesn't carry fresh-baked cinnamon rolls. So I thought, well, I'll give Hideaway a try because I remember seeing them
yeah.
when I was buying coffee or having a sandwich or something. And I remember seeing them. And I
yeah.
thought, well, I'll take a chance because I'm working the clock. And I went in there and ran into a friend of mine and chit-chatted for a while. And as he was being checked out. And I said, I'll take both those. And Sarah says, to go. And I said, well, yeah.
You're going to sit and eat them all by yourself?
Well, you know, we could have cut them up. There's a coffee clutcher, and I know a bunch of the guys. But anyhow, I took care of you. There you go. You've got it.
It's a great tradition. And, you know, when you said you gave me a cinnamon roll and Kleenex, this is how I get through the winter, by the way. I've this cold stuff is, I mean, I'm healthy enough, but my nose won't stop running. So I just walk around clutching a pack of tissues everywhere I go. And I feel like my grandma when she was she was 85 and she always had little tissues stuffed up her sleeves because she just would drip around all day. And then, but of course, like this winter, this cold thing, the only thing that's really keeping me sane is having enough dessert. And I'm probably gaining a ton of weight, but I think I shiver it off, though.
No, you look like you could lose a couple of pounds.
Do I?
No. I wouldn't say
right,
that
well.
If I wouldn't
I'll
say
only
that
eat
if
half
I
the cinnamon roll then. No, I just psychologically, like, I need the sugar
well,
to keep
you know,
me going.
Older people,
like us,
have their nose will run regardless of whether you got a cold or anything. It just, you know, maybe the muscles are getting lazy after so many
years. So this is
years.
A permanent thing.
And I remember having an uncle who. His nose would drip, and I don't mean to turn you off, folks, but it was just a clear, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was a clear membrane, mucus or whatever you call it. It wasn't green. It was, you could see through it.
I gotcha.
Anyhow,
I
it
gotcha.
Dripped.
Okay, I'm still going to eat this cinnamon roll, even though you just said that.
Well, the point that I want to make is that, Jeff Johnson.
Jeff just came in and brought me a steaming cup of coffee. I love this place. It's fresh, hot coffee. I'm never leaving. Thanks, Joe.
So anyhow, the point of it is as you get older, I think those muscles get weaker, and therefore your nose drips. And it used to really turn me off, except that my wife will go like this every once in a while.
She's giving you the
you know,
hint.
Your nose wing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Or you could just, like, you know, stuff little tissue wads up there and walk around all day.
We're a horse bag, you know.
Yeah.
It is 9:13 on 1080 as Dina takes her first bite of her cinnamon roll. By the way, if you're not, if you want, you can go back. They have butter.
Oh, my gosh. You don't need butter.
Are they good?
These are sick.
Okay.
They're really, really good.
When did that ever come to pass that people would call something good sick and bad, you know?
I don't know, but it is. You know, I don't know. I really hope the Hideaway is paid sponsors of your show because we got to plug them really hard today. The creamy frosting on this is so good. It's not like the crispy stuff that kind of crumbles all over your lap when you take a bite. I mean, you could swim through it. It's so good. Wow. Sick.
The way to a woman's heart is through her stomach. Well,
at least mine.
As you take your bites and sip your coffee, folks, the reason
it's the best day of my life.
Dina, of course, has been on my show on many, many occasions. She's a very interesting lady that is very committed to helping people, and she did have a place thing called Children's Exchange. CCC was the name of it. Children's Cultural
College's
Commission.
College's Cows on Contentment.
No. What was it? Children's Cultural Connection? Am I close?
Close. Close enough.
Anyhow, you started that, and now it's off on its own, and you're now getting involved in more things.
Mm-hmm.
Dina is a resident of, she says Denison, and I don't understand that you'd live off of... I don't know what the name of that road is, but 56 and then to the back end of Cannon Falls, if you take a left right after you cross 56. And you call yourself a Denisonian?
Denisonian? Actually, Denisonian. If I was going to be the most specific, because the Denison folks, they wouldn't really claim me because I'm not a Tony. I don't live in the town. And I don't vote there. You know, I'm a Warsaw Township person. Warsaw Townie.
Okay.
Warsaw Townie.
Okay.
Townshipy.
Okay.
Person.
Townshipy.
I don't know. Like, that's my most specific.
Are you involved at all?
Yeah. I have been.
Is that Goodhue County?
It's Goodhue County. Yep. Okay. And we have been known as one of the most, in the past, one of the most apathetic districts of where they would have a vote for an election of the supervisors.
Low turnout.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Family been running it ever since the beginning.
Yeah, they're lifers, and nobody's even really aware that anything's going on. But, and we won't, we don't have to go politics, but we had some, like, kind of interesting, I don't know, disputes going on in the community. And so what's happened is people started paying attention. You know, when you have, and you have some squeaky wheels, and you have some people that are kind of doing things that people may or may not like. And anyway, the good part of the story is that we now have one of the most stellar turnouts. Almost every resident votes on all the elections. And I, my personal involvement, I'm just glad that people participate. That is my number one thing, because what really just gets me mad, really mad, is when American citizens take their privileges as American citizens for granted, and they're completely oblivious to how it goes. And it makes me upset, partly because if you spend as much time in failed states as I do, such as Afghanistan and Somalia, you really look back on what we have with a whole new perspective and really sense of awe on how well-functioning it is around here, which, and everybody loves to say, oh, government's broken, it's broken, it's broken. And yeah, okay, it's not perfect, but boy, it works a lot better than it could. And so all the way down to the township level, when people are unaware and uncaring and just thinking nothing concerns them, and everybody knows, well, they may or may not know it, but local government affects them the most, because the policies and the things that are, whether your street gets plowed affects you more than, you know, what the Congress may be doing on any given day. So anyway, I've been, my role really is helping people who want to run get elected, as long as I like them.
Yeah, well, that happens a lot.
I've been in marketing campaigns.
In Northfield, that has been known that people that want particular things do gather together, and then they find a candidate, and then they support them and go out and work hard for them. Mm-hmm. And we have many people on the city council that do that. They get organized and get their person on the city council. Mm-hmm. And that was not happening in your township, but now it is?
Now it is, and it's kind of a cool thing. And I've been contacted by different people that want to run for, you know, there's like three supervisors and a clerk and a treasurer. And when they have elections and people want to run and make a campaign, and I've been asked to help with their communication pieces and editing letters, and I make it clear that I'll pretty much help everybody, and as long as that's okay, but I'll help people really emphasize what it is that they want to accomplish and what their skills are. And I love that. I think that that is, it's so exciting to see people really caring.
Now, when you write a letter to the editor during a political season, you write to both the Cannon Falls Beacon and the Red Wing?
Well, I don't write the letters. The candidates have to, you know, I mean, like if they're pitching themselves, but I'll help them make sure that their message is clear, whatever that message may be. And I don't necessarily get overly campaign-y for others. You know, I'm not that person where I'm the pack behind them. But I just really want everybody to, I'm very passionate about getting other people to pay attention and read those letters that come in your mailbox and get to know who they are. By all means, go vote, but don't vote just closing your eyes and picking something. Just be as educated as you can about what these people want to do and what their background is and what's up with them.
What's the difference between then and now in regards to the people in your township being involved in
You practically have to stand in line to wait to get to the voting booth now, and it's really exciting because you I walk in the door now on a voting day, and another one's coming up in March. And yeah, you may actually have to wait a few. But it's really nice because you get it's such a great small town, and it's that very, you know, folksy. How you been? How's it going? How's your winter going? Blah blah blah. Everybody's having a chance to kind of be together, and I love that.
Well, of course, during a general election, I'm sure it gets pretty busy.
Yeah, of course.
But now, what were some of the things, by the way, we're talking to Dina Fessler, and we didn't choose this topic. There's other things I do want to talk about, but you piqued my interest in regards to how it used to be people didn't get that involved in voting for superintendent and clerk, etc. And I suggested perhaps was it always like from one family, and now it's from new people. What's the deal? If the new people come in and take over, that's kind of feels not a good feeling for the people that have had Century Farms or whatever.
Well, that is really one of the most fascinating places about living in this rural community. And we came about 20 years ago or so, which was kind of an interesting slice of history, I'll say, because it was coming off of when, yeah, those Century Farms, they're dying out. I mean, over 20 years, I've watched how many barns fall to the ground because it's literal and metaphorical watching this old world sort of crumble apart. And then there's new people that are moving in, and most of them, from what I can see, are more commuters. They're commuters to the cities in Rochester, and they're not afraid of a 45-minute or an hour drive. And they want that kind of peace and quiet, but they want to build something new, and they want to be the last ones to build something new. Everybody who comes down with a building permit, they're hoping we're the last ones so we can have this pristine view out our window, and they don't want to see the suburbs, but nevertheless. And then there's some people that are kind of historians. I don't know which one we fall into, but we were people who took an old house and fixed it up again. And we rescued our barn. Our kids can't go to college now because we paid for the barn, but whatever. We like that history. And then there's some people that just, because the whole urban sprawl on both the north, from the north and south, and from Northfield even, it's just inching its way closer. And so being in this little town of Denison you're not in the middle of nowhere anymore. The population of Denison has not grown. I think it was 152 when we came, and it's 171 now. So we'll say it's really low growth. But anyway, so back to this historical perspective, you've got these farming communities that they know their way of life is going the dinosaur.
Encroach.
I mean, it's encroached, but also it's not that farming's going away, but you can't run a family farm anymore. That doesn't exist. You can't farm on 100 acres. You need 1,000 acres. You need to have the 36-row planting combine. If you have that, you have to be able to pay for that. You have to have enough acreage to make it work. You have to have bigger pole sheds to put it all in. It's like a whole different business. And so, like, farming's gone from this more, you know, not subsistence farming, but just, you know, just closer to home. And now it's this massive industry. If you don't have GPS in your tractors, and you don't have the GPS that tells you where your watering, you know, shortages are, or what's happening over here, and you have to be following futures markets for the hogs or the whole world. You have to, if you're not prepared for that, you're probably already out of business. So. And it's very fascinating to kind of watch this and who's stepping up and who's, I think most of their kids and grandkids left for the, you know, different lifestyles, because you have to be so committed to this. But the ones that are making it are they're still in the game, and it's just very different. And I think that when we first came, down, we were met with huge suspicion, because there weren't that. It was kind of this new outsiders coming in.
In your township.
In our little town. You know,
far away? I know you don't have any houses to the south of you, but how about to the north? Is it like several lots before you get to another home? And across the street.
The people that are in our little section, they've all, these are all old farms. They're interesting. Okay, to the south are the Midgies, and they are a century farm, and they're Howard and Mill.
I thought you were the first house on that road.
Forgot her name already.
Yeah.
On the other side of the road, and Howard and Helen?
You don't have to mention their names.
Whatever. Yeah. Hi neighbors. We know each other. Anyway, and they're elderly now, and they're kind of, so I'm asking them, like, which one of your kids get it? Do they want it even? Maybe they don't even want the farm. Maybe Century doesn't sound as exciting as it does to you. And then to the north is Dave Flum's dairy. He's been there for, I don't know, for longer. His whole family is legacy and dairy farmers. And he's running one of those endangered species small dairies, which I love because I don't know why I love it. It's just such a cool thing,
I have a buddy that has one in Greenville Township. And it's fun to go out there and feel like you're on a farm.
Totally. It is, yeah. And it's so special. And especially when you're with a dairy farmer, I'm giving shout outs to Dave, that just loves to do that. That it's like in his blood. And I respect it so much. And one of the other things that's really fun is he's just a fun neighbor. And if we're having a party, and some of our friends from the city is coming down, and I'll say, hey, Dave, can we come up for a tour during milking? And so we'll all, kind of walk up with our beer bottles and just kind of hang out, drink cocktail hour with the cows. And all of our friends that we bring there, they are just fascinated. And he gives these great tours, and we can take some photo ops with the cows. And it's great. But it's one of those things I always tell them. I'm like, you're seeing something that's extremely rare nowadays. I mean, last year alone, how many hundreds of farms closed up shop? And, the milk prices and the whole thing. So anyway, here's my new thing. Okay, I don't know if your listeners care about any of this, but it's exciting to me, and I'm on this sugar rush right now. So I'm really into this concept. It's not totally new, but the dairies that are getting, accredited to be able to sell their own milk and in the glass bottles. And it's not just a nostalgic thing. It's not just a conservationist thing where you have less plastic milk containers, but I see the interconnectedness of community through these. There's one called Autumnwood up in Forest Lake, and then I've been to a couple in Wisconsin, and they sell to the markets and local stores, but you can go there, and people are going there with these empty milk bottles getting their refills. And also, again, it's like voting in the Warsaw Township. Everybody's seeing their neighbors, everybody's together. And I don't know. I mean, it sounds impossibly quaint and unrealistic, but I don't know. The world's kind of an interesting place these days.
Yeah, but
as
a little rich girl from Edina, you never saw a glass milk bottle.
But that's what I'm talking about. It's got a, it's not just a quaint charm for little rich girls. Thanks for thinking that of me, by the way.
Well, it was true.
But it's representative of where our food comes from in a way. And I think that is more than quaint. I think it's important that people know. I love that my kids are growing up out here, and we know our neighbors, and we know what they grow, and we ask questions. We ride in their combines when they're harvesting, and we're asking tons of questions. Because, of course, I can tell you everybody in Edina, for the most part, doesn't have any idea how Byerly's and Lund's is stocked with food, and they don't think about where it comes from. And they really should, because it's not just about their local farmers. It's about the interconnection of the entire world and how all these things fit together. And that's the segue into the work that I do, which is the interconnection of the world.
And a segue for me, too. Dina Fessler is my guest here this morning, and she's been my guest many times, and her children have been my guest on many occasions. She has three adopted children from, let's see if I can remember, don't tell me.
Nope.
We got Daisy, and we've got...
You told me not to tell you, so yeah, I'm going to sit here and eat the cinnamon roll.
Okay, and we have Ethiopia,
mm-hmm.
and we have
But you're not getting names with the countries.
Well, when you say them, I go, why don't, you know, I should know that. But I do want to, before we get into you revealing that again, and you could write 100 names down, 1,000 names,
you'll
and I
them.
Could pick them
yeah.
out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that.
They're fun names.
No recall. By the way, I don't know if the quarterback club sells cinnamon rolls. I never checked that out. However, I had a guest on a while back, and we were talking about the quarterback club, and he says, I love their donuts. And I said, well, I think they get them from Quality Bakery. Oh, no, they make their own. I said, no. So I talked to Dale Finger just the other day, and I bought one of their donuts, mm-hmm. and they are made on... They make their own donuts,
really?
Yeah. And they're good. I mean, I went, wow, I should get another one, which I didn't, but I'm going to next time get two of them. And they have all kinds of them, the different cake donuts and frostings and sugar donuts and all of that.
They have all that.
And they make them themselves early in the morning. And by the way, they don't open at 6 for the rest of February. The morning crew is on vacation.
So the quarterback club opened at 6?
Yeah, they opened at 6
a.m.
Yeah. Now they're opening at 7 a.m.
Wow. I mean, because they have breakfast.
Yeah. They have the best breakfast
right.
in town. Anything you want, from malted meal to donuts to how about bacon and eggs or
ham. We could turn this into a food show, and we could just eat our way around Northfield and discuss what they...
Well, I'm talking about the Quarterback Club. One of my sponsors has been for years, but not only that... the other day, I was talking to Dale Finger, and I always remember Dale as being on the softball team, of which I was the manager and coach at the quarterback club. We did very well, by the way. Then he brought up bowling, and I forgot all about it, but it was Dale Finger, the late Larry Benjamin, Steve Erickson, who was where the Family Fair Food is now. It mm-hmm. used to be Erickson's, and myself. And we would win a lot and have a whole lot of fun. We don't have as much fun as we used to at our age, but I'm a lot older than Dale, by the way. 9:32 on 1080 Radio. I'm waiting for you to stop eating so we can get on with our conversation.
Well, I'll talk for a while, and then you can
Daily,
eat.
Daisy and Trixie. But Ethiopia. China? Is that another?
Daisy's from China.
Okay. And who's from Ethiopia?
Sunny.
Sunny. Yeah, I like that name, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is from Afghanistan?
India.
India, of mm-hmm. course. And her name is Indigo.
Nope.
What is it?
Coco.
Oh, yeah. I love those names. Sunny, Coco, and Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
India and China and the other one I said.
Ethiopia. You should eat some of this. It's just so good.
Well, I'm gonna wait and see if you eat the whole thing.
I'm gonna. Well, okay. I'll take a break.
All right.
Cut my energy up now.
I did want to talk to you about your latest excursions. I was taken aback that you're back traveling in countries that are very scary.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were in Somalia.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to go to Somalia?
Well, didn't you read all the fun
stories? Blog? Your blog?
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't that sound like fun?
Every word.
Looking for the camel meat?
Yeah.
Did you read it, really?
No.
No.
I'm sorry. I do get it, but I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the print is so small that I have to make it bigger.
Well, don't look at it on your phone. Read it on your computer.
Well, I've got a computer that I've never used, ever. My wife keeps complaining, Wayne, that's a laptop. You can take it anywhere you want.
Your wife's right.
Yeah, I got to take it out of the box.
Well, don't rush into these
things. There was a really good deal on it. So she said, Wayne, do you want a laptop? And I said, sure. She was getting her new laptop.
Does she have the laptop? Her laptop's all set up?
Her laptop is all set up.
Well, then go over to her laptop and just
You don't look at other people's
phones. No, I didn't
say
go look at it. I'm just saying, like, pull up a browser and throw the link into my website and just look at it on her computer. Then you can read it.
Okay.
It's a nice big print and funny stories. I'll tell you all about this because I think you don't really know what's going on.
I don't.
You don't. Okay. Do we need to take a break first?
Well, let's see.
Because once I start talking.
I know. And I appreciate it. I enjoy your conversation. Why don't we do this? We'll take this brief break, and I'll have a part of that cinnamon roll. And here we go.
Can I go get more coffee?
Welcome
yes.
home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
This is Barb from Professional Drive Dental of Northfield. The doctors Becky Johnson, John Nowak, Brian Craby, and Tyler Yonke would like to remind you that February is Dental Health Month. New patients in the month of February will receive a free exam and necessary x-rays. The doctors and staff at Professional Drive Dental would love to see your smile. You can find us on the web at professionaldrivedental.com or give us a call at 507-645-5264.
Well, that was good timing. I swallowed just as she was saying her last words. And my guest just came back with her second cup of coffee. How much coffee do you normally drink?
Well, a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
A lot. I drink about two plus cups in the morning. And then it depends on what I have to do. Like sometimes when I'm driving my kids around and I have to drop them off for a music lesson or whatever, and you hide out in a coffee shop. And I may not want the coffee, but I got to buy something. So yeah. I find myself drinking a lot of coffee just to be able to sit in their establishment for an hour. And then by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I am absolutely craving a fresh cup, and I'll go into my kitchen, make a whole pot and whole nine. So,
well, you know, I love coffee. The other night, a couple of nights, I'm going to my wife. I'm saying, gee, I wake up at 2 o'clock and I can't sleep. And she said, do you think it's the coffee? And I went, well, I don't think so. She says, how about the caffeine and the Diet Coke? And I went, oh, I never thought of that. So I drink too much Diet Coke and too much coffee, and I have to cut back because it actually literally makes me shake.
Yeah, it does.
You ever lay in bed and kind of have the little trembles?
I cut myself off. I'll only drink coffee at night if I've had a lot of wine, and then I kind of calibrate myself a little bit.
You're a nice sleep.
You know, like at those dinner parties where it's like, okay, I've had so much alcohol that I'm going to have the dessert and the coffee, and I'll be fine. But, I'll get shaky too. But I don't drink caffeine pop or anything like that. So this is just but I love coffee so much that when I travel to these places, here's our segue. When I travel to some of these off the grid places, I bring my whole pack of coffee in my French press because all I need then is boiling water. I don't need electricity. I just need my filter and my little plastic roti cup.
But aren't they known for their coffee production in, like, Somalia?
There is coffee there. You know, well, okay, this could get us on another, conversation about the interconnectedness of the world and food. And, you know, the first time that I was in Kenya, which is, Kenyan coffee, it's the world loves it. You can't find a cup of coffee in Kenya. You can find a packet of Taster's Choice freeze dried. And I thought, what's the deal? Like, this would be the place I'd get the best cup of coffee in the world. Not so when, the foreigners have co-opted your industry and all the coffee is exported. And that was my first, I guess, enlightening moment on how powerful countries that want to exploit impoverished developing countries operate. And you know, we want, I'm not ragging here, but, you know, we want our best price when we go to our grocery stores, and we want all the selections, and we want all the, you know, we want all the, you and I want to have 15 cups of good coffee a day, and we're the consumers. And so for the, you know, the industry, you know, people that are, you know, the industry that wants to provide that, they can go in and make the deal that they have the rights to everything and they export everything. And it's really tough because on the, it's why fair trade needed to be established, which if you know about fair trade products. No. Yes.
Well,
no.
This is your show.
This is my classroom. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, people hear
I'm
about.
I'm familiar with
okay,
fair trade.
Okay. Well, so people like you'll see like on a the side of a coffee, you may see the little fair trade stamp or something, mm-hmm. and what that means is, and I'm really really simplifying this. People that are the experts can come on your show and correct what I'm leaving out. But it's to try to ensure that the people that are actually producing it are not basically metaphorically enslaved by this industry. Because when the big, you know, big coffee industries in America or, you know, the West, they want to kind of take over the industry and they want the best price, they'll buy everything and they command, they'll, you know, when you buy everything, you start to set the price. And these, the bargaining position of the people on the other end is almost, you know, zero, especially the laborers and the farmers that are the ones that are growing the coffee beans. And so they can essentially be paid just almost nothing and have nothing to say about it, because who else are you going to sell it to? Starbucks, not to call them out. Like, if they own the entire industry, you're screwed. And so fair trade is something that is where it involves the consumers to be aware of these things. And I think that there are a substantial enough amount of, say, Americans that if they knew that, oh, if I paid a little bit more for this one, I know that the people that I never really thought about a few minutes ago, that there's families trying to, like, live. And instead of going to this gala fundraiser over here to donate to the poor people of Africa, all I have to do really is just buy the fair trade coffee, and I'm actually helping this whole industry. And if you help an industry, then, you know, you're helping far more than just one individual. You're helping the kids that are the children of the people in the industry grow up and get educated and not be enslaved and blah, blah, blah. So people look for this fair trade symbol stamp, and it's got, you know, government-y watchdogs that, like, will certify if you're not really fair trade, you can't pass that off. And so, yeah, that kind of stuff, I think it comes with awareness, but I think some people don't care. Some people can't afford to care, let's be honest. I mean, you know, there's some people that in the United States, I mean, I still say all Americans are rich because I spent enough time in failed states. But, I mean, but being here, there are people that live very paycheck to paycheck, and okay, we see the government shut down and people are having their own GoFundMe campaigns to pay their bills. And I'm just saying there's people that don't have the luxury of paying the extra 50 cents for the fair trade version, and they're going to buy the things that they can afford. But I think that there's plenty of people that would just, they want to know how the rest of the world operates. They want to have, it's not just a clean conscience, I think, but I think that they want to, they like the world to be more equitable, and they'd like to know how they can help. And that's when, and I think it's very important.
Well, I remember when I first came to Northfield some 50 years ago, I used to have coffee at Tiny's. And Tiny's is now a bud shop. But anyhow, Steve McKay and Millie owned and operated that. And I think coffee was a dime. And you'd have a cup of coffee, and then there was a freeze in, like, Colombia or Brazil, and it ruined the coffee crop. And so the price of coffee went up tremendously, mm-hmm. to the point where now a cup of coffee at Tiny's was 25 cents, mm-hmm, instead of a dime. Mm-hmm. And I remember 2 years later saying to Steve, "Steve, do you think that freeze has melted?"
Haven't thought it out yet.
I mean, you're still charging us. Well,
right now, you're used to paying 25 cents. Yeah, so,
but now a cup of coffee, you know, they have constant refills. You know, no empty bottom or whatever. And you know, coffee is now in some places $2.25 with your dinner, $1.75, mm-hmm, you know.
And you're not talking about the fancy coffee.
No, you're
that's
just
$4,
yeah,
because it's, yeah, a cappuccino.
So what the heck? You mentioned Starbucks, and then there's others that also Caribou, I believe, mm-hmm, another, mm-hmm, large chain. So why does a person have to wait forever to get to the window to order something? There's always a long line, it appears, based, mm-hmm, on what I've seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you go in, do you get a cup of coffee, or do you get a cup of coffee with this and with that and with that and with this, and then have your initials inscribed in it and cream, or
yeah,
whatever?
They make a fancy design in the foam for, yeah, you. And well, baristas.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, and you got to tip your baristas, too, because they are artisans. And, yeah, I mean, that is a fascinating concept of American culture, and it's not just American, but I'll speak from what I know here. Like, why do people pay so much for coffee, for all the little trappings? And you know, there's, okay, the coffee, real coffee purists are just horrified that you would put all this extra flavors and shots and whipped cream and designs and sprinkles, and you know what I mean? It's like, but that's how Americans like to co-opt anything, you know. It's what do I call it? Cultural appropriation. Where we'll take your. And actually, I wrote a funny little little story in one of my blogs about the Americans' cultural appropriation of food, and like what we've done to spaghetti with SpaghettiOs and grocery store sushi and things like that. But the purists from the other cultures that created these things are just got to be disgusted, right? But it's the way of the world. And anyway, but back to this coffee thing very specifically, because we're not talking about food, and we're not talking about anything that we actually need at all. Like, there's nothing on that coffee menu that's one of your basic, okay, unless it's psychologically us, where we have to have this coffee. That's a psychological thing. But, and they'll pay money, and they want it to be beautiful inside, and they'll tip the baristas, and they want it to be all, and then they want to read all the countries that it comes from, and then we want to know it's fair trade, and it's more of like a major life experience on a very deeply psychological level. I don't have the answers, and I'm not a professional psychoanalyst to know, but I think it's very, I know for a fact that if I took any of my friends from the third world into this and showed them, oh yeah, and we just paid like 5 days' wages on one of your wages on one cup of coffee for this completely frivolous experience, and we'll wait in line too. I don't know. Is it back to that like thought of Warsaw Township togetherness, where people just, they'd rather wait in line where other people, like-minded people, are waiting in line, and then they feel that they're part of their identity is now enhanced in some way, and I don't know, but
I remember the first time I went to a Starbucks, I was in Rochester, and I like cream and sugar, okay, that's just the way it is. I love it that way. I wait in line. I says, I'll have a cup of coffee with cream and sugar. They said, well, that's down there. I'm like, oh, okay. So they give me a cup of coffee, go fill it yourself, and do what you want with it. That sounds good. And so they gave me my coffee, and I gave them a $5 bill. And I got like $2 and some change back, and then there was a big sign for tipping, mm-hmm, you know. I thought, I threw the change in there. I just paid $3 for a cup of coffee, and I have to go.
And you do half the work yourself. I mean, You'd be better off just ordering the cappuccino where They froth that milk up and made a pretty design for you. You didn't have to do all the work.
Cappuccino, what is that?
Oh, a cappuccino is where it's a shot of espresso, so it's that really, really, really robust Italian coffee, and you can't really drink too much of it too fast. But that's in it. And then they take milk and they steam it, and they steam it and froth it really heavily. And that's the cappuccino. And then a latte is, it's still the steamed milk, but it doesn't have that like intensive froth factor of the cappuccino. So...
Well, one time, the late Al Thorpe, a former realtor here in Northfield, and I took our motorcycles, and we went up to Duluth, and we went out on the dock, and there were people on this big, huge ship standing up there, but you could talk to them, and so we blah, 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 what are you guys carrying, where are you from, what country, and why does that flag say this, but you're saying that, and... They invited us on board. So we parked our bikes and got on board, and we walked and we walked and we walked. We finally got to the pilot, I guess that's what they call it, station. Very nice guy, spoke broken English, and brought us, coffee. Yeah, you sure? And I'm expecting a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And it came in a little tiny cup that you hold with your pointy finger and thumb.
Yeah, right.
And you take a sip of it and you go, I should use a fork.
It's pretty thick.
Yeah. And, I mean, I could not drink more than one of those. Mm-hmm. But that's the way they do it. Some people do it, I should say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I've noticed in my travels around the world, like, the way people drink coffee and tea. You know, it's just this universal thing. I remember when I lived in China and I had an Italian roommate in my dorm. And Lorenza Cesaroni from Italy, and she would have all her friends in the afternoon for coffee. And they had these interesting Italian coffee pots where they'd pack the grounds in. And I don't know, maybe you've seen them. They're these like interesting shape. You can get them in like designer, like Williams Sonoma places, I think. And they would drink and they would just pour it out. It came out like syrup into these little cups. It was so thick, and they'd sit and just talk in Italian and talk with their hands. You know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering if the hand talking, you know, that demonstrative, like, moving your hands around because they're so jacked up on caffeine. I don't know if that's related. But then I was in a different part of China, and there were a lot of African students there. And this one African student from Senegal, he invited me over to have a Senegalese tea party where they talk politics and drink tea. And it's this whole process of, it's almost like these two different pots of steeping tea, and they'd pour it back and forth and back and forth, and then they'd dump about a gallon of sugar in it, and then they'd pour. And it took, 20 minutes just to make this tea in this thick syrupy, and they'd put them in tiny little shot glasses, and everybody would get their tiny shot glass of this super thick, strong tea and talk about politics in French. but just to be there, and again, it's, now that I'm saying it out loud, it reminds me of the whole Starbucks thing. It's not what you're drinking. That's not what it's about. It's about this like psychological need for community and identity and being with like-minded people and having this sort of weird yet brief shared experience. And I think people will, pay both in time and money for these things. I don't think the Senegalese tea and sugar was all that money, but the time put into this.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that you prepare because of the preparation effort is
social. And the ritual of it.
Mm-hmm. A person that rolls their own cigarette.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going through the whole thing.
Yeah, you could go tell them you could go buy some, and, you know, okay, maybe they're a little bit more. Maybe they're rolling them because they're cheaper. But I think that they usually do it because, like, well, this is the way my dad did it. Or it's people are. Yeah, it's okay, it's identity. That's what this is all about, I think.
We are just talking and gabbing here with a young lady by the name of.
Thank you for keep saying my well, introduction prefaces with the young lady.
Well, comparatively speaking. But you have
not really. See, like when I'm in Afghanistan, I'd be dead about a decade ago. Their lifespan is only 45.
Wow.
Oh, that's their average.
Okay.
That's a dark, I know, thought. But
well, it used to be that way here.
But I'm very, I love it when I come here and you tell me I'm young. So
well, I am going to give you an idea for Thursday. Coming up Thursday is an important date for a lot of people.
Be her hero this Valentine's Day with a gift from Russell Stover Chocolates. They specialize in fresh strawberries hand-dipped in luscious chocolate and packaged in beautiful red heart boxes. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's Day gift you can give. At Russell Stover, there are special gifts for every budget. Many gifts are buy two, get one free. Two for her, one for you. Choose Russell Stover Chocolates.
Hi, I'm Alyssa, director at the Vital Link Adult Day Center on the Three Links campus. Our program is for adults requiring care during the day and includes nutritious home-cooked meals, stimulating group activities, as well as outings to local attractions. Vital Link provides support to caregivers during the day. Transportation is available. Please call me at 664-8865 to schedule a tour or find out more at threelinks.org.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Hello, we're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And today is February something or other. Let's see, Thursday is the 14th, Wednesday the 13th, Tuesday the 12th. This must be the 11th day. 2-11. That's what it is, 2-11. And 2019, my guest this morning is Dina Fessler. And we're going to get talking about what she's been up to lately, and she's been out of country, and I thought we'd save that for the second hour. So let's wrap this up about coffee, all right?
Okay.
So... Have you had enough coffee? No, do you need more?
No, I think I'm perfectly perfectly calibrated. I think that's the word. Got my sugar. I got my caffeine. Got my napkin. I got my tissue.
I got. I always bring a cup of coffee from home, and I put it in these containers. What do you call these? I was thinking that the other night.
What do you call them?
What do you call these things?
We could say it's like a coffee.
A mug?
But I put water in mine. I put any beverage, like a roadie, roadie beverage. They're insulated.
Yeah, and I sometimes I'll forget it in the kitchen, and I will drive back, figure it out about a minute after I'm on my way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I forget it in my car, and I panic.
Got to go back.
You know, my coffee, I left my coffee in my car. The other day when all the snow was piled around, you couldn't park, but I parked horizontally and just tromped through the snow.
Yeah.
And I get in, and I forgot my coffee, and Terry said, oh, I'll get it for you. So she went through my footsteps trying to get out of, So anyhow, that's the point. Coffee is good. Coffee is important. Coffee is inexpensive. Coffee is expensive. And what I get a kick out of is how they say with their signs in the grocery store, $6.99, and you go, $6.99, that's a pretty good deal. And you get it home and you go, wait a minute, this is 12 ounces instead of 16.
Right. Yeah, got to do all that extra math before you.
And then the toilet paper manufacturers, when they made the roller the cardboard thing that you used to play mm-hmm. when you were sitting there mm-hmm. when you were a kid. Well, they made it bigger.
Bigger now.
Yeah,
right?
So, yeah. You know, the role looks the same.
Yep.
But
that is one of the things. I know this isn't what you wanted to talk about, but when my stress level goes up, well, I get a lot of stress sometimes when I go to big grocery stores and I look at, you know, 20,000 kinds of cereal or all these just, there's too much yogurt, and I just get kind of stressed out and I don't want it anymore. But when I have to go buy toilet paper and they all are advertising all these prices and I just feel like I'm in this math class or something where I have to figure out, like, how many rolls, but how many ply, but how dense, but how big is the roll? And you know, should I get the 24 or the 38 or the whatever? And I just get all stressed out about that.
Well, now they have one where it says 6 times 11, or you can get it and it's 8. Times 6.
Yeah, you need to bring like some advanced APA mathematician with you to help you do all, and I just get all depressed. I'm like, I just don't even want to do this.
Now, when you buy, a roll of paper, you know, for the kitchen, do you buy the wide slot or do you buy the one that's shorter?
Wow, that's a good question.
Well, we'll answer that right after we listen to my theme song.
Okay.
And that will give you an opportunity to finish up that cinnamon roll. We are listening to KYMN 1080 radio on your AM dial for over 50 years. And our guest this morning is Dina Fessler. And we're also at 95.1 The One FM from Northfield, Minnesota. Here's Paul McCartney with the Beatles on clarinet. Is Paul McCartney's dad. And it's my theme song because I was this age when I started this part of my life on KYMN Radio. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. Bum, bum. My guest this morning is Dina Fessler. Before we went to my second hour theme song, I was asking her whether she buys the paper rolls in the full-size rip-off or the half-size rip-off. I buy the half-size because it works, mm-hmm. and I don't need the full-size. So, mm-hmm. therefore, I get better use out of the roll is mm-hmm. the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I fully support that, and I also buy the thickest ones that they have because I have discovered that you can reuse them about 100 times. And you, if you're like wiping counters down and stuff like that, and you throw them in rinse and rinse them out and hang them over the top, that you can reuse them so many times. So I almost never go to the grocery store to buy paper towels. And when you do the half-size ones, it goes even farther. There's my thrifty.
And you don't know the name of those.
Well,
there's so many.
I mean,
Bravo.
There's a lot that are really like sturdy ones. Get the sturdy ones, and then you don't even have to get depressed and stressed out like the toilet paper, because nobody's going to rinse their toilet paper out and use that again. But you will with
do
the paper
they in
towels.
Some of the countries you've been in.
They don't have toilet paper.
Here's a okay.
Think about that for a while.
Ever watch Shark Tank?
That's the one about the investors?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Since I had
well,
obviously...
Well, they have some interesting things that come up on mm-hmm. there. And one of the things they had was a guy invented bamboo paper towels.
Oh, okay.
And the bamboo paper towels can be used 100 times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's renewable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea, but I've never seen any anywhere. So,
yeah, I'm very interested in people that are finding new ways to create products that are, you know, disposable, but don't have to just be made out of plastic that's going into landfills
yeah.
and oceans and stuff like that. I think it's time we get more creative. But.
I agree. Say, speaking about creative, on many occasions in the past, we've always discussed such things as American Idol, America's Got Talent, and what other ones? There were like three of them. And you
American
knew
American Idol, did we say? Project Runway.
That one we didn't.
You like Dancing with the Stars.
And you would know them by name and all that, and I'd remember most of them, but not lately?
No, I just, actually don't, I haven't found a reality show that I really get into. My kids love The Voice, and Brad loves The Voice, and they're always watching it, and I don't get it. And I don't get it, but...
What don't you get?
Well, the part, okay... I don't want to sound like just wreck somebody's good time loving The Voice, but the judges bug me. They get so phony with the, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh, she's amazing. It's like, you don't really think that. You're Kelly Clarkson. I mean, you're a singing goddess. You're Jennifer Hudson. You're like all these people that they can really sing, and they're gushing and over-dramatizing, and I feel like the producer's just telling them to milk the ratings.
Oh, of course.
Of course they are.
Of course.
But
you've got to like that tall cowboy guy.
What's his name?
I don't know.
The guy, the one, the...
He goes like this all the time.
He's the one...
Pick me.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know. I just like that these people are so talented, and because they're so talented. Now, if they had people that weren't so talented being the judges, I might not find myself as annoyed. See, I prefaced it by saying I'm kind of being a little bit of a buzzkill for the people that really enjoy that.
That guy that is with... played this,
Blake something?
Blake
Sheldon?
No.
Anyhow,
I like him. I think,
I don't know who they are.
I think he's got some reality seriousness about him. I like him. But the other guy on the other end, the one that's with something five.
Maroon 5. Adam Levine.
Adam Levine.
Yeah.
He performed at the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, when he took his shirt off, that was kind of fun. I mean, like that California tattoo, that was the most interesting thing that I saw the entire game.
Why would you want to associate yourself that closely?
I had so many questions. I'm like, oh, interesting. Hmm. But
do you have any tattoos?
I do, actually.
How many?
Well, only one, and I have a story, because I'm not a fan of tattoos. I mean, and this is to all the people that have tattoos out there. I'm saying this a lot. I'm not anti-tattoo. I'm not anti the voice. I'm not anti, but this is my opinion. It's like they started out to be these kind of rebellious things, like counterculture. And anything that's done so much, it's not counterculture anymore. So now I'm like, you know, that doesn't, you know, I feel like it's become so mainstream that whatever. Okay. Same with the piercings and all that. It's like, okay, it's not really rebellious anymore.
Well, when I was a kid, to get a tattoo was illegal. And your buddies that went in the Navy, you know, would get them.
That's where I'm going. Okay.
And then you had to, if you found an underground tattoo artist, mm-hmm. which, of course, we did, mm-hmm. and never forget Mike was his first name, and he was a badass. Excuse my language, but he was tough, and I was glad I was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he drank a whole bunch of beer. Or whiskey or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to the tattoo parlor,
mm-hmm.
and he had a big Black Panther.
See, now that's
on his forearm.
A great story. So here I was. Okay, you ready for one of my Dina stories? It's 1991. I'm living in Hong Kong, and it was my birthday, and I was really depressed. Not about turning 26 or whatever, but just, you know, when just things aren't going well and just had a lot of things that I was just really mad about. And a friend of mine, we went drinking. Okay. Just went out drinking. And the next thing I know, we are in the red light district in Wan Chai in Hong Kong. And this is in 91.
A tall blonde in the red light district.
Oh, yes. And
what were you wearing?
I don't know. I don't remember. Everything's a blur, okay, including the tattoo that I got that night.
Okay.
And but now 91, the only people that got tattoos in 1991 were Navy people, military people, sailors, gang members, prisoners, you know.
Yep.
There was no, like, oh, look at the cool butterfly I got. This reminds me of, you know, whatever. And I remember, it's like those little fragments of memory throughout this night. And I were in this Wan Chai red light district, just joint, you know, just a bar. And I'm pretty drunk. And this guy sitting next to me in the bar, and he had these big, he was like a sailor. And he was a white guy, like a foreign guy. And he had these big tattoos, this big inky, murky, you know, not beautiful, like maybe a snake or what your friend got. And I said, hey. And he looks over. I'm like, hey. He goes, what? I said, did that hurt when you got that? Did that hurt? And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, hurt a lot. And I'm like, that's what I thought. I got to get one of those. And the next thing I know, my friend, who's taken pictures of me, because I'm like, document this, I sat with this Chinese gang of teenage guys, I don't think they were teenagers, getting full body tattoos in the middle of the night in the Wan Chai Red Light District tattoo parlor. And they had been there all day. There were these five guys and they were shirts off. They were Adam Levine, okay, in another era. And they were getting all these, you know, dragons and all this crazy stuff. And they were all just shiny because they have to put Vaseline on to because of all of the, I don't know, whatever, pain and infection or whatever. And I came into this place. And now sober Dina would probably know better, just leave. Okay, this isn't something for you. But not drunk Dina on her birthday. So I sat down and I'm like, I am getting a tattoo. And I said, tell me about, one of them spoke English. And I'm like, what are you guys part of and what gang? And I remember they all pulled their lips down like this. And they all had their lips tattooed with their gang underneath, you know, inside. So I guess, like, when they're dead, they can identify what gang they came from. And my friend Colleen, she was so sweet. She's like, Dina, like, if you really want to do this, I'll stay with you. And so I said to the guy, the tattoo artist, while these guys are in the, you know, waiting for their next round, I said, I want a dragon. I want a little one right where on a label on a pair of designer jeans would be, like, right back there on that pocket place. And I want it to be, because I was born in the year of the dragon, so, like, the Chinese character for a dragon. It's about the size of a postage stamp. And I said, this is what I want. And he's like, no problem. And I said, no, I may be a little drunk, but I'm not stupid. And I want clean needles, because this, we just came through the 80s and the AIDS and all this stuff. And I'm like, I want a clean needle. And he says, no problem. And he took a bottle of Windex and he sprayed the needle with the Windex or something like that. And then he wiped a rag. And I said, that's more like it. And I thought to myself, like, after I woke up the next day, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not about the tattoo. It's like, what if I've got AIDS now? I've got, like, this, you know, I had a needle, like, in a red light gang member tattoo parlor with wind and the whole thing. So anyway, I'm still alive. It's been a long time. And, the tattoo, you can barely see what it is anymore because it's that inky. Now, you know what I mean? After 30 years, it just looks like a glob. And, I like the story though. And my girls think it's crazy. And I'm like, now that's the way to get a tattoo, girls. So I don't support you getting a tattoo unless you can do it like that.
Okay, but my question is, five gang members and then a tall blonde walks in and
sounds
wants
like
to show her buttocks.
I know. It's just a bad, bad combination. Somehow I got lucky.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stories of getting lucky, but to be really honest, and I'm hoping my luck does not.
So you got lucky.
Well, I got lucky in a different sense.
Yeah. 10:15 on 1080 Radio, KYMN, a friend you can count on. Speaking about 15, we'll be back in 15 seconds on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATH-TUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair as Dina's talking to herself over there. it was a quick break, Dina.
It was. I was just trying to collect my thoughts. And, I'm collected. I'm back.
Okay.
I'm looking at the library steps over there. They look very snowy.
Are you, is that the only tattoo then that you have?
That is the only one. It's the only one I need.
Did it hurt?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And, well, actually, though, I do remember in the other little segments of my memory flashes, as I remember, like, kind of screaming really hard as soon as I heard him turn the needle machine on. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I haven't done anything yet. I'm like, oh, okay. So I think it was like being burned.
Well, I got a little one, and I wanted to see what it felt like.
Yeah.
I've always wondered that. Yep. And it's very small. It's on my upper left arm.
Mm-hmm.
Can't read it anymore.
It was a long time ago.
Oh, left word. If I tell you what it is, you could figure it out. But just glancing at it, you wouldn't know.
Okay.
But anyhow, the I wanted to know if it hurt, and the bottom line is yes.
Yes, it's like being burned.
And I don't want to sit still while somebody hurts me. I'm not a masochist, or, you know.
Yeah, and there's people get them on body parts that hurt more than others.
You go, unbelievable.
And they're
all over, in anywhere, any place.
Yeah.
Point number 17, I believe that colorful tattoo are gorgeous. They're a work of art. I've seen people in town, you know, with on their arms, and you look at it, and it's there's story to tell. There are different things. And they're beautiful, the pinks and reds and yellows and blues and dark blues and greens. And.
But what are they going to look like when they're 80?
Who cares when you're 80 what you look like? I mean, other than having your hair combed and clothes on when you go out.
I guess.
But, I mean, who cares?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm going to be a very vain 80-year-old. I'm going to be.
Well, are you going to wear a sleeveless blouses and let that little flabby stuff under your arm?
Well, see, maybe the tattoo covers up the flabby thing.
Oh, okay. I thought you weren't going to get any more.
No. I'm not. But I do. Like, I think about sometimes the styles. The styles that people do, and the piercings or the stretched ears and things like that. Like, you know, is there going to be a point where, you know, when you kind of lose your youthful zeal, and it's going to be like, oh gosh, this is not so
well.
Cool anymore,
speaking but. About that, did you ever live in a or not live travel in a country, and perhaps live where they did the stretched ear thing?
Only in the Twin Cities, like hip hop urban area. No, I wear those, like, you know, those guys, and they wear the big gauges. And
the big what?
They're called gauges. They're these big plugs.
Oh, and then they keep going up in size?
Yeah. I mean, and they're just, they're American young people. That's the most exotic things I've ever seen.
Well, I was watching a news program, and the person on the show was my age or a little younger. And he had an earring.
Mm-hmm.
And I teased with the thought about, you know, that'd be kind of cool. It'd be a conversation mm-hmm. piece. Mm-hmm. People, what are you doing at your age mm-hmm. wearing an earring?
Right.
But if I don't mean the diamond ones, like the, you know.
Like what, a little hoop? Or
yeah, just a little hoop, about as hoopy as at the bottom of the ear. And we're, close.
I think it'll get some conversation going.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, that might hurt. Does it hurt?
To get your ear pierced?
Yeah.
No.
Not at all?
Well, it does. But you know what? It's a little bit more when you're getting it done because it's right next to your ear. And they usually take a gun. It's like a stapler.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound of that right in your ear, this like ka-chunk, that is, again, psychologically like having the machine turned on for the tattoo. It's like, you know. But it doesn't. It's just very fleshy. It's a pinch. You feel it, but it's not.
Do you wear earplugs? I mean,
to get your ears pierced?
No, yeah, because you said it makes a big sound.
It does. Well, actually, I took my girls to get their ears pierced. It was a couple years ago.
At what ages?
Well, my rule was 13, and so Daisy turned 13, but it was one of those things where it's like, oh, to let her do it and then not the other two, it's just going to be excruciating around our house.
Well, wouldn't Daisy say, hey, I had to wait until 13, and they don't.
No, Daisy got her, would get hers, and the other two would say, they would be, yeah, but she's showing off that she's got something that we don't have, and there's that, and then, but then Daisy would be like, oh, but I had to wait, and either way, it's like, okay, all of you get it, or nobody gets it, and everybody's going to be happy and quiet about this and stuff, so, and Daisy, she fully admitted that she would have rubbed their noses in it.
Oh, of course.
As much as possible.
That's
unwritten rule, right?
Yeah.
And so, but my thing was, is that two had to go, they all had to be separated. We were at the little earring store at the Mall of America, and I wanted them, like, two had to be outside the mall, and one had them done. And I said, you're not to say one word, because if the first one who goes is, would say, oh my God, that hurts so bad. And then the other two are going to, you know, get all freaky and stuff. So I said, you're not allowed to speak one peep, one word when you're done. And you have to like go over there where they can. So all three of them kind of went through the system. And then I put them all together. I said, now you can all speak and talk about your experience. And they're like, that hurts so bad. But they're little. You know, I mean, they're kids. So they don't like getting a shot at the doctor either. So.
But is it like putting your hand on the stove and then go like, ooh, that hurt, but it's gone? It's
no, gone. I'd say it's closer to getting an injection.
Oh.
It really is because, I mean, you can feel it. It's a good poke, but and then it's tender afterward. You got the earring in and you clean in your ears and keep them all, but it's tender. It's a burn on the stove. I mean, that's going to hurt for
a while. I'm talking about you just touch it and you go, ooh, that's on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Before the actual burning skin part comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
For days afterward.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of, yeah. Okay. And it's that surprise. It's like, oh, whoa, you know, like where your nerve reactors are aware that something is happening, and it, you know, it's like the way the whole nervous system happens, and it sends the alert to your brain like something bad just happened, and then you get kind of a little shock in your brain, but it's no big deal.
Then the ones that do their belly buttons, that makes my eyes water. I know, ooh, that must hurt. 24 minutes after 10 o'clock is the correct time here on KYMN Radio in another 20 seconds. So, Nina, we've talked about small farming, and we talked about township elections.
Yes.
And, oh, I
paper towels. Talked about paper towels.
Now, when you use Denison as your town, townie, okay. So when I meet some people that have been in Northfield since I came to Northfield, and they're my age or older, you know, I look at them as townies. And then now there are people that have moved in the last 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5 years, and I forget that they're looking at me as a townie. And that's good, you know. And you don't realize that you're in a position that I'm a townie.
You're an upperclassman.
And how about, you know, in your particular place where you have these farmers that have been around, ranchers, and just people living in that township for a long, long time. Now you've been there 20 years. Do you feel like you're a townie half the time and a newbie the other half?
Right. That's a good question, because it's kind of evolved in a couple of ways. Well, one, in that 20 years that's gone by, I mean, there have been other people that have come long before me, and they could say, oh, we've been here for three generations, and they still act like we're the new people. But that's a long time ago, where there wasn't much movement and there wasn't anything new, right? So now, we're 20 years ago, we were the new people, and if we'd walk into the little local bar for a drink or whatever, you know, all the locals, they swivel around on their bar stools and stare at you under the bill of their cap and kind of like, who's that? And now that doesn't happen anymore, because one, there's a lot more people that have kind of moved in. A lot of the population has really shifted. Their kids aren't sticking around, and so the new people that are living there are new, you know. And a lot of the old guys die, and a lot of the interesting part about the demographics of this community, the bachelor farmers, that they didn't marry, and so the farm kind of, everything goes with when they go, and their legacy isn't around, and it doesn't exist even. And so there's a little bit of that. So yeah, now when we go into the bar or the restaurant, there's a couple locals still left, but the whole dynamic has really shifted a lot. And because I don't know, I mean, I'm sure there's some people that don't like me, but I think for the most part that I've been a active contributor to the community. I've been in the early years, I joined the Lions Club partly because it was one of the only ways you could get to know people there if you weren't born there. And so I'm like, hey, I'm paying $40 a year. You got to talk to me. I'm in your club. And it was kind of fun, because we did end up, you know, using some of my creative energy for doing some fun community things. And little by little, I defrosted some of my biggest critics. And I think for the most part, they kind of like me. And I wrote for their little town newspaper for a while. I'd write some of my funny articles and stuff, so they'd get a kick out of that. Then I left for a while because the girls came, and I don't have time to do all that stuff. But now I rejoined the Lions again. And now my girls joined the Lions as the mini Leos, the little Cleos, they call them. And they've got some of their girlfriends in the neighborhood, and they're doing little service projects, and they're going to make a float for the little town parade, Flakeout Festival. No, they have the Flakeout Festival. It's coming up on February 23rd.
Flakeout?
The Flakeout Festival.
Is this the first one?
No, it's been going for like, I don't know, maybe 15 years, I think. It's been going for a while.
Gee, Wayne, get with it.
I know. And so you
Flakeout Festival.
And you know, if they have a chili cook-off, and they have a parade, and you can win $300 for the best float. And the last year, you know who won? the only person who put a float in the parade. And I think a fire truck drove down the street and won $300. So, but the town spirit, the bars are full, the bingo is playing. And anyway, my kids are making a float. And so now that, coming back to your question, is like, you know, the sort of like demographic shift. My kids, and I'll be honest, they'll be honest too. If you thought I was a foreigner, if they thought I was like this sort of, you know, sort of strange cultural interloper, I wonder how you're going to like my kids, because we just shifted your population. You're now like 5% Asian, by the way, as a community, and that happened overnight. So, and I thought, you know, how are they going to like these girls that are coming in from all over the world? And
now, before we go any further, for people that just tuned in, or for people that forgot, or for people who didn't hear you say, you're talking about Denison.
Denison, where up until recently, everybody's grandparents went to school together. I mean, that's how homogenous this community is.
And now you're associating yourself with that community, although you live in Warsaw Township in Goodwood County.
But, yeah.
South of 56, and then east. North.
Well, and Denison, the little town, it's kind of between, it's just out of Northfield, you know. But I mean, like, they're so homogenous that, you know, racial diversity is not being Lutheran in Denison. That's diversity. And so now we've got these Edina woman coming in, and her husband Brad is from Edina too, and now we've got these kids from Ethiopia and China and India. Yeah, like I said, all of a sudden, you know, Denison is a multi-ethnic place, very dramatically. Three adds a lot. So, and I thought, like, I wonder how these folks are going to like the kids. And I'm not going to try to psychoanalyze it. I don't care. My kids are the most popular people in town. Everybody loves the girls.
What can a kid do in Denison besides eat at one of the restaurants?
Not a lot. There's not a lot to do there. You know, but because I'm in and out and the girls come with me and we'll, you know, have lunches with, I'm friends with some of the farmers and the kids come along and they're just very, and there's a woman who she likes to pay visits to all the nursing homes and the kids will bring their violin and cello and they'll come and serenade some of her friend residents at the Sunset Home and whatnot. Yeah, the girls, they're quirky girls.
That's in Kenyon.
In Kenyon, yeah. And they'll go over to Three Links with her. We have lunches. Yeah, Bernice Stenhock, she's a way back, Northfield and Denison area and wife of a farm family and she takes the girls out and she's like their adopted grandma and I mean the girls just are very very popular people and everybody likes them. Whenever we are on, like, all the locals will come and stop by and they just love to chat and see how they're doing. I'm like, I couldn't be happier. And you don't have to like me. You just like them. That's
and, of course, you go to the Lutefisk feed.
Oh, yeah, we're there. And, again, they're not, you know, not Norwegian, not Lutheran, but, again, just
well, I remember
add a lot.
When I first came to town, you know, going out to Denison, we're farmers, and a lot of underage kids would go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking in where, just like you said, everybody would turn their head to see who's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much to check out the stranger, but to see if one of their buddies are walking in.
It's partly that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because it's such a tight community that the chances of you knowing who's going to walk in the door and know them and like a friend, maybe, it's...
You ever go there and play euchre with anybody?
I don't know how to play euchre, but
it's
that
really simply
is it. Yeah. That's kind of used to be one of my bucket lists because, like, all winter long, when Ruby's Bar was open, they'd all go play euchre. All, you know,
yep.
They'd be there at 8 a.m. and I thought that would be kind of fun. My reason for doing it was more irreverent. I just wanted to see if I could do it. You know,
yeah.
Like, I remember when you mentioned Tiny's,
yeah.
And everybody talked about, oh, Tiny's, it's got this, like, you know. Reputation as this like kind of hardcore, I don't know what, but so I and all these old guys would be in there drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. So I'm like, I'm going to go hang out at Chinese and smoke cigarettes. And so I did for a few months. I'd go a few times a week and I'd smoke these French cigarettes because they'd sell all kinds of weird tobacco there. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I think I'll smoke those. Yeah. And I got to know a few of the guys before they died. because some of them were pretty old and, you know, continuing to smoke cigarettes and drink coffee didn't help. So, but yeah, I kind of enjoyed that. You ask me why would I go to Afghanistan? Why would I go to Tiny's? Well, it's all the same reason. I'm curious.
And as a past patron of Tiny's, as many listeners have been, of course, it was taboo to go in there if you were a girl. Mom and dad said, don't go in Tiny's. And it's because of the smoking, the swearing, and the magazines. Mm-hmm. And yet you'd find the president of a bank in there, mm-hmm. and you'd find a guy that shoveled sidewalks to get his liquor mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. And so it was a cross culture, but not of women. I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure I've seen some women from the bank come in and get an icky eggy or a mm-hmm. hot dog. But that woman sitting at the stool and having a cup of coffee and a cigarette, I don't remember ever seeing that.
You should have been there. I was, and they were pretty clear that this doesn't happen, and especially because they were pretty old, so they knew how that culture was, especially back then. You know, they would be very surprised to see women there. But they were very welcoming, and I don't know.
When you say they, are you talking about Steve and Millie?
I don't know who they were. I'm just talking about there was a bunch of old guys. This is like, 17 years ago.
Okay.
Because I hadn't been in Northfield very long. You know, we were still sort of new to the area. And, and I'd just go, and there's a bunch. I don't know what their names were, but they were just a bunch of old guys.
You're talking about clients, not the owners.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And
a bunch of old guys at that time were 50, 55.
Right, yeah, because I was younger, so maybe they were only 51 or something. Yeah. But anyway, and I don't know, I think maybe the moral of this whole discussion so far is culture and togetherness and identity and where people go to be with like people, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're it's not necessarily a bad place, you know. It turns out Denison is as welcoming to little Ethiopian kids as Tiny's is to young women who like to smoke and hang out and chat, and they're nothing but gentlemen the entire time. So.
My former partner, the late Don McRae, I could go in there around, let's say, noon, 11 o'clock, and he got away from the radio station before I did, but I could go in there and look and see if the crossword puzzle was done.
Mm-hmm.
If it was, he'd been there and gone.
He was there. Yeah, that'll just work. Yeah.
If it isn't, well, he hasn't been in yet today. Yeah, it was a good experience. The greeting I got from Steve McKay, I was excited about selling advertising on radio, and I had called on him with that intention. He just basically laughed at me. And then one time in the afternoon, I was going to see who was in there. And it was sun in the west, and the window faced the west. I'm watching too many TV shows. But anyhow, I had to cup my hands around my eyes on the side to look in.
Right.
So I did that. And when I looked in, Steve gave me a greeting.
What? Now, why did he give you that?
That's who he is or was.
That middle finger greeting. Oh, well.
Well, he did anybody. He was a character himself. But it's fun to chit-chat about the old days when I really realized there are old days in my lifetime in Northfield, Minnesota, and all that. What stores were available to you when you first moved?
The first thing that just will always stay in my mind is that, Jacobson's.
Which one?
Jacobson's, but oh, Jacobson's, yeah. You were really the one in the know. And I'm like, oh, it's like time travel. It's like a general store where there's, you can cut your own fabric in the back to make a dress out of and the baby clothes next to the hardware next to the, and I thought, this is just fascinating. Like, how do they stay in business? I mean, that was right before they went out of business or they closed business. Yeah. You know, Target's coming. It's like,
so did you get a chance to meet Bob?
No, I never really knew who ran it. I never knew the proprietors of these places, but I just would walk around there just being really curious. And it was kind of like Fleet Farm meets Joanne Crafts. And it's really just this amalgamation of stuff, you know, like a general store.
I think Ralph might have been his son. I might have been running it because Bob ran it for his father when his father had passed away. Bob was a Washington, D.C. type guy, had a pretty prominent position there. And he used to advertise on Kim at 8:45. He sponsored the Baby Kim Report. We'd announce the babies that were born.
Oh, okay.
And Kim has grown to where it was always born to Mr. and Mrs. Jerry Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Then we got to born to Jerry Smith and Susie Jones. Then it got to born to Mary Anderson.
Yeah,
I mean, we went through that.
We
went through the entire culture where there was no way in the world that you would ever announce a baby born that was not a married couple. And to the all the way to where any. Any kid born for any reason, when I say any reason, I mean, you know, maybe an ambulance picked him up in Lonsdale or brought him over. But Lonsdale can take care of that now. 10:38.
We digress.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's what I enjoy chit-chatting about is different things that came to your mind. And I mentioned, what stores, Dina Fessler, do you remember? Because, unfortunately, the retailing in downtown Northfield is not what it was 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. But now you're mentioning one of the anchors, and that was Jacobson's, a store with a heart. It's a good morning, everybody. I got boots for the kids and boots for the adults. I got them all. That was Bob Jacobson.
Oh, okay. You know,
and he'd go on and on and on. And, and a good customer.
It's really the main streets in small town America is very reflective of what period you're in, and when the bustling old main street, that was before the interstate took people out to, you can go buy anything you want now at a Walmart, and you know, the way people move, and you don't need to support your little town, so they better have really good things. Now you look around and like, yeah, usually when a Target opens up on the edge of town or a Walmart, you're done. You're done on the main street. Your hardware stores aren't going to make it when Menards wants to come in. But I think what's really cool, and yeah, like you go drive around and you'll see a lot of antique stores, pawn shops, bars, and a lot of closed up
lawyers,
businesses.
Insurance agents.
A little bit of that, but like, but in other small towns, like even the lawyers like can barely stay afloat in the small towns. But I think, you know, of course, people know that the colleges here bring in a lot of tourism. I mean, the Northfield town brings in tourism, but the colleges bring in money. And so I kind of look at what kinds of stores are on our Division Street, Main Street, and, you know, coffee. And the more stuff people can eat and drink, wine, you're going to, you know, the breweries, the microbreweries now is the thing that's going to keep you floating. But to just go and buy products and things, that's tough.
Well, let me see if you remember any of these stores, okay? If you had to buy clothes in Northfield, you could go to the Ragstock.
Oh, okay.
They're still there. Then you could go to Jacobson's.
Not there.
You could go to Mitchell's.
And you know where we're headed to? Rare Pair.
Well,
the Rare Pair
yeah,
has always been there, right? Never heard of Mitchell's.
Okay. It was on the same side between 4th and 5th. Same side of the street as Rare Pair. Then you could go to Stevenson's.
Okay. You're still like way back when. You're way back.
Well,
I don't even remember these ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember Anna's Closet.
Oh, well, that's a new store to me.
That's new and it's already closed. Yeah.
No, it's Anna's.
Oh, Anna. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Anna.
And she said she may come back.
Really?
I hope so. Okay. So then the new store in town, the Rare Pair.
When was that there? It's been there as long as I've been here.
It's been there probably close to 30 years now. Okay. But before that, there was a sweater store.
Okay.
That was their sweaters and jeans. Mm-hmm. And then they also had one up by where a computer shop is going in right now, I think, up on close to Fifth Street on the east side. Okay. Now we're going to go continue. Let's cross the street and go down Division and Bridge Square. On Bridge Square, you had Jim's Clothing. You had Danny's Cellar, Jean Cellar. You had Perman's Department Store, which was the anchor.
On Bridge Square.
Now we're turning the corner.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know where the advertising agency is?
Neuger?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was a bank.
It was a bank.
Oh, but before that.
Before that, it was a 2-3-story bank.
Okay.
And they
tore
down, built that building. Yeah. Well, then you had Stenstrom's Jewelry. I just ran into Corky and Jim at the quarterback club last week. And then you had Perman's, which was a men's, women's, children's store, mm-hmm. and other things they sold. And that was the anchor in town. Then you move down a little further. There used to be a place called Marshall's Department Store. And it now is, I don't even know what's in there right now. But then Marshall's went out of business. Sandy McKay and I think Lois was his wife's name, active Republicans. But I went to his funeral out in Cannon City. First time I ever stopped in Cannon City. You had the Dollhouse. Now, the Dollhouse would have been where, you know where the Arts Guild is?
Mm-hmm.
And then right north of that, you have that arched entryway.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Dollhouse.
Okay.
They used to be across the street, but they moved over there.
What did they sell? Dolls?
Women's clothes.
Oh, okay.
And but the point I'm getting to on all this, then across the street you had...
Make the point.
Okay.
You lost me a few blocks ago.
Okay, here's my point. You're from Edina.
Yeah.
We used to have people, women particularly, mostly, would come down to Northfield for a day trip because we had all these women's wear stores, and Dollhouse was the top of the line, and Perman's would be second part of the line, and then Mitchell's was independent. Stevenson was, of course, a corporate store. And then they would have their Rubenstein to go get something to eat or the Ideal Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd come to a small town with all these choices to shop, and then Burnsville opened.
Then the Mall of America opened. Yeah.
And then Walmart opened in Faribault.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cubs came to town.
Mm-hmm.
And then Target came to town.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, but, you know, it's part of the evolution of the world. The retail world, at least.
I have to take a break. Will you bear with me while I do this?
Yes.
And while I'm doing this, I'll tell you, I'll talk to you in a minute. All right?
Be her hero this Valentine's Day with a gift from Russell Stover Chocolates. They specialize in fresh strawberries, hand-dipped in luscious chocolate, and packaged in beautiful red heart boxes. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's Day gift you can give. At Russell Stover, there are special gifts for every budget. Many gifts are buy two, get one free. Two for her, one for you. Choose Russell Stover Chocolates.
Don't let a dead battery leave you stranded this winter. When a warning light comes on, it may already be too late. Visit Witt Brothers Service, your Napa Auto Care Center, for a free battery check, and make sure your battery is up to the challenge of a Minnesota winter. Need a replacement? Witt Brothers can make it easier on your wallet with a $25 Visa gift card by mail with the purchase of a Napa Legend or Napa Premium battery. Visit Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for full details.
We're back live and in color on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on this Wednesday, the 11th day of February, and the year is 2019. And my guest this morning, a woman I find very interesting, is a gal by the name of Dina Fessler, and she lives out in Goodhue County, Warsaw Township in... in Goodhue County, which is out a little bit further east and a little bit north of Denison, right? And now Denison has a Denison Flaky Fun Day or
the
something.
Flakeout Festival.
Now, why don't I know that? That is just crazy. I remember Denison Days, of course. That's just always right during the season that the Vikings are cutting people. And those games that they play that don't mean anything, which is a joke when you think about it. And then, oh, look, it's a good thing Terry isn't in here.
I
have a little cinnamon frosting on the...
Uh-oh.
There, I cleaned
clean
it
up the party before she gets home.
Yeah, oh, she... So, anyhow, where you lived, we talked about the culture in Denison, how it's even changed in the less than 20 years that you've been here, and in Northfield, and you had that children's cultural connection.
Wrong.
Close.
Move on. I closed it down because nobody could remember how to say it. they were donating to the wrong organization the whole time, so we ran out of money.
Okay. Well, I still have to
But the pay. Children's Cultural Connection thanks you for supporting their business.
All right.
Meanwhile,
but
my little
What I'm looking forward operation. To is tomorrow or Wednesday, perhaps you can just come back and talk about all of the things that you've been doing since the last time you were on the air, which has been quite a while ago, based on our regularity.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. And you've been to what different countries?
Well, I'll tell you. Okay,
without the details.
Okay, so here's where you got a little confused, okay?
I did?
And you're not the only one, okay? Because in the same spirit, we'll start from here. In the same spirit that you enjoy listening to some of my goofy stories, the tattoo, there's like the highlights of my life stories, right? A lot of the people that were, whether they were donors or of my nonprofit or you know, patrons or just people that know me, they're like, Dina, we love your stories, and especially when you're... Well, my best stories are when I'm traveling, because weird things happen, right? And they said, you should just start writing your stories down and about the places that you go, and not just goofy stories, but kind of sometimes you experience some profound things or kind of enlightening moments and whatever. So... it's still part of my business. Okay, just to clarify, Children's Culture Connection, that was a nonprofit that I ran, and we closed that down because we ended up just giving the curriculum off to the universities and let them run it on a bigger level. And then instead, the same concept of me doing this inter-country programming with young people, we still do that in a for-profit business. It's called GSD, Global Student Dynamic, or Get Stuff Done. And that's my new business. And it's really virtually the same. The business structure is different. That's all. Okay. So I still travel around, blah, blah, blah. So people said, Dina, while you're out traveling around and you're in Somaliland and you're in Afghanistan and you're in India and you're all these places, you should also write some of these great stories because it has nothing to do with your curriculum. And I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, maybe, let me think about this. And so what we decided to do, and my partner Andy and I, we decided that we would create a special section of GSD where people could buy a subscription. It's like an online magazine. And so every week you will get all of these like articles and episodes and stuff. And for $5 a month you get this, and then we use that money to support all of these inter-country programming, and that's how. It'll just be another funding mechanism for the business. So so what we decided to do, it's just an experiment, though. If it doesn't work, then we'll pull it. But for 1 year, each month of the year, I'm going to tell you stories about that country. Okay, so you probably got 4 emails from me that was just in India alone, right? And there was an email that went out in the beginning that said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to tell you all these great stories and lots of pictures and funny videos and just like cool stuff. And then if you like it, you can subscribe. But we'll give everybody 3 months for free. So you'll get 3 months of all the stuff. If you like it, then you say, put me in the subscription list and I'll keep getting for the rest of the year. If people don't respond to it, no big deal. It was kind of fun experiment anyway. So a lot of people, though, they didn't really read. They either didn't read the first email where I explained what I was doing, or they kind of read it really quickly and didn't catch it. Because a lot of people have thought I was in India for an entire month, and then they think I'm in Somalia right now. And I'm like, no. So I'm sharing. Some of them are old stories. Some of them are not very old stories. They're a couple years old. But it's about, and some of it is, it includes like anything from a tattoo story in Hong Kong, that kind of a genre, to the actual work we do with the kids. And I'll tell you something really, really profound about what we've done and how it's impacted. And my podcast is in there, all kinds of things.
So what's more fun, writing it down for people to read, or doing what we just got done doing, telling the story in person?
Well, it's telling the story in person is really, really great, too, because it's, I like writing very much. I'm a good writer. I've always really enjoyed just the way you can tell a story using the written word to, you know, convey ideas. But there's nobody asking me questions back while I'm doing it, and so I really do enjoy the back and forth. And so maybe both is the answer. Maybe you should have me on once a month, and I'll tell a funny story from one of my trips.
Did you major at all in writing, or minor in writing when you were college?
No, I was a fashion major. I mean, I had to take writing classes,
that, but
you
didn't do
it. I just really enjoy it, and
so what do you? What do you? How long do you think up the hook? I mean, are you going, what can I do to get them to read the whole damn story?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, it's definitely an art. It's not just sitting down and typing away until it's over with. And I kind of try to come up with a... And so here's what we'll do. I'm going to give you a very quick glance at the website, and then you're going to go to your wife's computer, because we know yours is still in the box. Don't read it. You can read it on your phone, but it's too tiny, you know, and you want to... And I'll show you how to play the videos. I'll show you how to look through the pictures. I'll show you where all the stories are. You can read them and see. Then what you'll do is you'll have me back and you'll say, now, Dina, tell me about almost getting run over by the cow in the middle of the Indian street at rush hour. Tell me that story.
I think I can navigate once I get there.
You can, because it's all...
I can.
You can. You absolutely
I thought you said
can.
Cannot.
No, you can.
Okay.
You can.
So I need to do is just plug the one in that I have. She'd have to program it or whatever you do.
You don't know. It's just a website. You don't... You just... As long
I mean,
as you
if
can
I
get
plugged
the internet,
in that... laptop, just plugged it in. How would I get it started to go to your website?
Well, if you have a service provider for internet.
Yeah, Charter.
Okay, so as long as that is accessible.
But that's all I have to do is plug it in.
You don't need, I can't honestly really tell you you're asking the wrong person, because I've never just bought a laptop. I'm married to a techie, so every 2 years he gives me something, a new phone, and says, here, this is for you, and it's all done. And I don't know where it comes from. Okay. I didn't even know I needed it, and he's got it.
Well, what I'm saying is that I physically plug it in to give it electricity, and then she said, everything's right there, just go at it. You don't have to put a cable into it or anything like that. So I'll go home.
Just do it and see what
happens.
Plug
it in.
Do it and see
and
what
then
happens.
It probably has a program that came with it. Because I told her, I said, I only want, she asked me if I wanted a laptop. And I was a nice guy and said, oh, sure. And it was on special. And it doesn't do one tenth of the ones that she does.
Okay.
All I'd want to do is read my email.
Yeah.
And I guess you don't text on laptops.
No, all you need is an internet connection.
Yeah,
and you just put the website in, and there you're there.
And I think our Wi-Fi takes care of the internet connection.
It should.
Okay.
You may have to like look it up and say click connect, and that may
be
the most you have to do.
Try.
It's going to free you. It's going to show you a whole new world. You're going to be just amazed at what happened in the 21st century.
It's the Sears and Montgomery Ward's catalog of
exactly. It'll introduce you to new things that you never thought possible. But I'm going to show it to you, and then you're going to call me right away and say, Dina, you got to come, and we got to talk about your experience in the Somali market. You're going to want to hear all about it.
I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment with our guest here on KYMN Radio.
You're getting married. Congratulations. Now let's talk invitations. Should they be traditional, contemporary, or rustic? Do you need inspiration or looking for something outside the box? from your save the date to your thank you, and everything in between, By All Means Graphics will help you define your style to fit the tone of your wedding. From design to can you print what someone made for me, we're here to help. By All Means Graphics is located in downtown Northfield at 17 Bridge Square. Stop on in to meet with one of our team members or call us at 507-663-7937 to set up an appointment. You can also find us online at byallmeansgraphics.com.
Tax prep comes with a lot of questions, but what you'll pay for tax prep shouldn't be one of them. Luckily, H&R Block has upfront pricing, so you know the price when you get there. Just three easy steps to know the cost before you begin. Any questions? In person or online, Block has your back.
At participating locations, applies to personal returns for tax year 2018 only. See tax office for details.
1300 Bollenbacher Drive in Northfield, open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 507-645-6281 to set up an appointment or stop in.
Well, she's going to teach me a lesson. We're talking about Dina Fessler here on KYMN Radio, a friend you definitely can count on. And let's find out what's going on in reference to wrapping this up, because I have invited you to come back and get to the point of what I called you for in the first place. And that was, I thought you were, remember, I said, are you in country? And you didn't read my emails? Of course you did.
Well, that's one of another them lesson says, that we have to have.
Okay. One of them said, are you in country? And I was under the impression that you might have been in India or in Somalia or Afghanistan, and I thought you were in India at the time.
I'm going to give you a lesson, because you take your phone like and you think you're texting me, but you're actually sending the text to my email address.
I was responding. See what I did is that I got that from you, then I hit the very top of the page, because that means you then can contact the sender. When you hit that, you're sending a message back.
But when you
it back to you,
on my phone,
not your text message.
That's what I'm talking about. See, if you text to email, it embeds, first it sends it to my spam, because it's like, this is a very strange email address, because it's not an email address, it's a phone number. Okay, so it goes into my spam, and then I find it in there, and it says, do not open this. It's probably corrupted. And I'm like, oh no, I recognize that's Wayne's phone number. he's sending a text to email again, and sometimes it won't even open it for me, because it assumes there's something.
That's how I did it, is by your text to me about your story, and I just went to the top of that page and just hit it on my phone, just hit it, and then I sent you a message, but I got you on text.
Like when you send it to my phone, that's happened to me before, where like if I type somebody's name in, there's other options, like their phone, you wanted to go to their phone, their email, and if you accidentally hit the email name.
I get it. I understand exactly what happened.
We know what's going on.
We're going to say goodbye right now.
Goodbye.
It's 11 o'clock, but I have to make this. Unfortunately, we are not going to have a 15 with the author with Terry Knight this morning. Very 11 o'clock Monday mornings, like Heartbeat. She's been doing it for years. And this morning, there is no 15 with the author for those that may have tuned in to hear that.
Oh.
So, we're going to go to some music format. Once again, Dina, I'll talk to you when I get done here.
Yeah.
And thank you very much. I enjoyed our
conversation. Thank you for the cinnamon rolls.
You're welcome.
Delicious.
This is the one, 95.1 FM, KYMN, 1080 AM radio from Northfield, Minnesota. And you know what's real special about us?
Locally owned, independently programmed, 95.1, the one.
Freeze frame title. After all this time.